Well, what an exciting day for all of us. And it was so beautiful. Yesterday we had a wedding and a lovely couple from St. Joe. And it was really cool because the groom is literally from the North Pole. He was born there. There's a military base real close there in Alaska to North Pole, Alaska. And there's a Catholic church there called St. Nicholas, of course. And that's where he was baptized. And I just thought it was so awesome that their wedding weekend is the weekend where we get a foot of snow. And I thought, if it's good luck for rain, it's even better for snow, I think, on a wedding. But just a joy, you know, and I love snow. So I'm praying for safety. We'll pray the spiritual communion prayer out loud today for those who are watching. What I really just want to think about real quick is the third Sunday of Ordinary Time every year is Word of God Sunday. And it's just a reminder for us every year to renew our devotion to the good book, which I hold here in my hand. There's a saying that a Bible that is falling apart belongs to a person who isn't. And we got to have, as Catholics, like a strong love for the Word of God. We should not see this as a book. We should see it as what it is, the living, breathing Word of God. And you all know as well as I do, you read a verse today and it'll mean something way different than what it even meant a month ago or 5 years down the road. Like, it always, the Lord is speaking something new through His Word. And we know that this Bible, praise the Lord, it did not just fall out of the sky. It is a product of three Catholic Church councils. Of the Council of Rome, the Council of Carthage, and the Council of Hippo, where Catholic bishops sat together with the Holy Spirit in the 4th century and discerned which books would be in the canon of Scripture. So this book is, again, not a book, but it's ours. It belongs to us Catholics. We should love the Word of God and cherish it. A priest that I look up to very much, Father Larry Richards, he says, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed. Which is to say, every morning in our morning prayer with the good Lord, we ought to be reading the Word. Every night before we go to bed, we ought to be reading the good book. Because this is allowing the Lord to truly speak to us and direct our lives. And challenge us. Sometimes you read something in the Scriptures and it's a little challenging. We need that. Sometimes it's really consoling. We need that too. Sometimes the Word of God might put something on our heart and it's like, oh my gosh, like, okay, like, let's do that. But if we're never opening it, you see, that's where we have a problem. And so we got to be reading the Bible at least once a day. Now, how you do that is up to you and the Lord. You know, some people maybe are doing Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a year. Great. Some people have little devotional books with readings from Scripture and reflections. Awesome. Some people like to read the readings of the day. Awesome. If you read the readings of the day, there's, because of this church cycle that we're on, after 3 years, you will have read the Bible, the entire Bible, and then it starts over again. And so some people like to just kind of read the readings of the day for Mass, and maybe you read some of them in the morning, some at night, and you sit there and chew it through, you know. For couples that are in marriage prep, I always give them about 300 Bible verses about marriage, about love, about sacrifice. And then I tell them, during your preparation, like every day, read a Bible verse. Pray through it yourself, talk about it, because the Lord has something to say about the marriage that He wants you both to have, you know, and this kind of thing. So we got to be reading the good book a lot, and it's ours. And so a couple little practices that I like to recommend. When you read your Bible every day, you should kiss it before you open it. You just kiss it. This is because we must love the Word. You know that when the priest or deacon reads the gospel, at the end of it, he kisses it. And that's on behalf of and together with everybody who is there. And it's just to say, thank you, Lord, that you speak to us still. You don't remain silent. You speak. And so thank you, like, Lord, thank you. And so just to kiss your Bible before you read it every day. I like to tell people that it's a really beautiful, beautiful practice to have the personal effects in your Bibles. Like, I have a business card of a person that I really care for, and I have it in a gospel where something very particular happened in our friendship. I have a letter here from somebody important to me. I have little post-y notes. I have little drawings. I have a little prayer that I wrote in 2007, and I keep it in here because the Lord put it on my heart. I've got little like this one, like a little kid wrote this. Jesus, I hope in you. You are my recourse. Maybe that wasn't a kid. That sounds like a big word for a kid. But anyway, I have that in here. And then I've got Our Lady of Guadalupe. And, you know, but what I'm saying is we got to have, like, things that are important to us. Really, I would encourage to have pictures in your Bibles. For example, this is my first communion picture. And I have it right here in John chapter 6, where Jesus talks about the Eucharist. It's a good thing in Acts chapter 2, picture of my confirmation day, because in Acts chapter 2 is where Jesus talks about that. Matthew chapter 3 is baptism, Jesus talking about baptism. So let's have our baptism picture in there. If you're married, John chapter 2, the very first miracle of Jesus at the wedding of Cana. Have a picture of you and your person at your wedding day. You see, in James, where it talks about the anointing, have a picture if you've of anybody you know who's been anointed and had last rites. Like, some people I know, they put something very special in, like, the reading that was at their grandma's funeral or father's funeral, whatever. We got to have, like, a personal sort of connection with this whole thing, is what I'm telling you. And so that's a really, really, really good practice. And just to, like, pray before we read it and say, Lord, help me to even read this and speak to me in it, is a really, really glorious practice. We heard in our first reading and in our gospel today about the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. It was a place of darkness. These are two of Jacob's sons, you know. So they inherited part of the promised land, northwest part or northeast part. But it was right on the border, and a lot of wars kind of took place there, and a lot of darkness entered in kind of a sneaky even kind of way. And Jesus comes into that. And the psalm says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So your word, Lord, is bringing light. And so that's another reason that we got to be turning to the word a lot. Folks, we're about to receive the word made flesh, Jesus Christ himself, at this altar. And so let us pray in gratitude for the word written and spoken, and also even more, the word made flesh, the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the